Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
Hi guys, I'm Rudy Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Amina Massoud.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 Welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. Coming to you from quarantine. We are still in quarantine here. It's been pretty exciting. Not so exciting. We're just literally stuck at home. But that does not mean that your daily dosage or weekly dosage of film news and film and television industry commentary is going to stop, because just because we're stuck at home doesn't mean that the industry has stopped moving and shifting and changing as it has been for the past couple of weeks. But I can't do that alone. I can't comment on all these things alone. So join me in welcoming the solo to my Chewbacca, the one and only Han Solo.
Hey there, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm really good, actually.
I love it. I can hear the birds near where you are.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
Okay. Oh, wow. I almost feel like I'm in that episode of Friends. Morning's here. The morning's here.
When they re-lose their apartment.
When they re-lose their apartment. Yeah.
By the way, I needed to run something by you, something important.
Yes.
We have to change the name of the show.
We do.
Yeah. There's a new name now.
What?
It's for the time being, it should be called Script Screen to Quarantine.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Or just Script to Screen. Yeah, Script to Screen Quarantine. You know? That's excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent.
I did so much this week, I just thought about that. That's it. That was my whole week. Wow.
What an exciting week that has been. I personally started binging an old family drama show that I love, but I won't talk about it now. I'm going to talk about it in the recommendations. I'm going to leave that in the for the recommendations towards the end of the episode. We've got a lot to discuss today. There's a lot been going on. A big group of people are celebrating. We can say that. While the Hollywood media seems to be not so happy, because for the longest time they kept saying that this was a myth, that this was a legend, an urban legend, that such a thing existed. But lo and behold, it existed, and it's coming to us. And it's coming to us 21. In 2021. Yes, you guessed it, screeners. We are talking about the legend of Zack Snyder's Justice League.
And I love that that's what they're calling it now. It's like Zack Snyder's Justice League. Like, take a step back, Joss Whedon. Thank you for taking for bearing that cross. But no, we've got different plans.
Move over, Mr. Avenger, and come in, Mr.
Justice League. It's just interesting that we now, or by 2021, we will be living in a world where we will have two different versions of the same movie. it's mind baffling to me that this is where we are in the industry now.
Absolutely. That's if COVID-19 hasn't become COVID-21 and multiplied into and changed into another kind of virus like this movie. Not that the movie is a virus, but we're going to see a new version, a different version of Justice League, which, as we all know, did not do too well and is not necessarily critically acclaimed or liked by a lot of people. It has its fans.
Oh, for sure. Diehard fans. And speaking of the fans, they're the reason why this movie's even seeing the light of day. Like, let's make that very clear. The campaign of Release the Snyder Cut and the petition that has been going on since the film was released, this is why this thing is happening. And this is kind of what we want to discuss today on the show, is how the fact that this is going to become a reality, the fact that the Snyder Cut is being released, and for all of you out there who haven't heard or read all the news, rumor has it it's going to be like 6 35-minute episodes on HBO Max. That's sort of how it's being released, or that's the rumor. HBO Max is also funding Zack Snyder $30 million in order to properly complete his vision, which is also insane that this is even happening. But this is all because of the fans. This is all because of a very devout fan base, a Snyder devout fan base, who loved and appreciated everything Zack Snyder was doing with the Justice League, who I mean, I don't necessarily call myself a level of fan as much as they are, but I have come to appreciate the Zack Snyder films a lot. And you and I have had these discussions on the show before. But this is the world we're living in today, a world where fans get to save and get to see what they want. What do you think about this?
Listen, it's definitely very interesting. We still don't know the formats. I mean, as you said, they're rumors. But what's known is that he has around 4.5 hours of material. So how he's going to divide that and use that is still up to see. But most likely, as you said, what's been suggested is that it's going to be divided on over several episodes. It's very interesting because I think we started to see an online, if you want, presence of the power of the fans and their potential to change things with a very different movie last year, which was Sonic.
Right.
As we remember, the first trailer came out and people just destroyed that trailer, saying that Sonic looks weird and funny and it doesn't look right, blah, blah, blah. And we've talked about this on the show. And they listened to fans and they took their feedback in and they modified Sonic accordingly, pushing the release date a few months later. So what they're doing right now at DCU, with HBO, with the whole streaming...
HBO Max, yeah.
It's HBO Max, their streaming platform, is that they're listening to their audience. They're listening to what people want. Apparently, there is a lot of material that already exists.
Yeah, for sure.
Think about it. And if you think about it, on a financial level, the movie has made some money. And an additional $20-30 million is not much for such an investment right now.
Well, I wasn't talking about it like from a financial perspective. I was just talking about it from the concept of now Zack Snyder gets to finish his vision. Like, this is huge.
I know. And I'm just like kind of connecting the dots to things you said. That's why I'm just like, I wanted to focus just a bit on, I'm gonna make a lot of money out of this. This is a big money making machine. Now, it's what's happening with Zest is beautiful. I mean, on a personal level, what happened with his, unfortunately, with his daughter passing away while movie. And then I was just reading an article literally 10 minutes ago, and they were talking to the director of photography who shot the movie. I forgot his name. But he said that in the Joss Whedon cut, they've used only 10% of what Zack Snyder shot.
Whoa, wow, that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, so there's 90% of things you've never seen that were shot. There's a different story to tell. There's a different angle. I am not a fan, I will say, of Superman, Man of Steel, or Batman versus Superman. But I am very interested. I am very intrigued. I want to see what this man had envisioned, because as we've talked about in Star Wars and Captain Kennedy and so on, Vision.
Yes. Yes.
They had a vision with Zack Snyder in mind, and then things kind of got lost. But now they have that. But what does that mean for the bigger picture?
Right, and that's what I was about to ask you, and this is what I was about to kind of like start theorizing on. I think that if Zack Snyder's Justice League gets the amount of views and the kind of feedback that Warner Brother is hoping for at this point, I think Zack Snyder might get another shot at completing the vision that he wanted for the DCEU. And I think this would be revolutionary for the superhero genre and for franchises as a whole, with the idea of, again, it goes back to that idea of vision, the idea of having one set direction. And I think, and I know you're not a big fan of them, but I've grown to love them because I think they're more philosophical superhero films versus like pure entertainment or, you know, like the fun spectacle of Marvel. Whereas this is a much darker, philosophical, mythological kind of take on superheroes. I'm super interested to see what happens, because I'm not gonna lie, there is a part of me that is hoping that we get that Zack Snyder gets his redemption and gets to finish what he started.
Yeah, absolutely. It is exciting. I will tell you that. I am excited about the whole thing, the whole process. But it does become maybe a bit confusing with the Batman coming out, with Aquaman already having come out, Shazam, Black Adam, the new Wonder Woman, what's his name, Ezra Miller.
The Flash?
The Flash, with his whole, like, recent mishaps in life, and he might be recast as, they might cast someone else as the Flash. Yeah, so what I mean is that it's just, there's a lot going on. And their initial vision itself, I don't know if it's still the same. We'll have to just wait and see how this whole thing is going to play out.
Yeah.
Without confusing fans and audiences.
For sure.
I'm in. I'm all in to see what they're going to do with that. And it comes at a good time in terms of marketing and strategy and seeing how things are evolving online. It makes sense. It's the right step. And people have been asking for this. The actors, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot. I mean, the only one that wasn't necessarily outspoken about this was Henry Cavill. He was the only one that wasn't necessarily outspoken.
He posted about it right now. Like, he's on board. He's excited.
Well, of course he's excited. What person wouldn't be? He's getting another shot at playing Superman. Why wouldn't he be excited? I mean, for real.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on another macro scale, I think this is really going to shape what the fan base means to film franchises. This is really going to shift. It's really going to change how we how movie studios make decisions, how film executives make decisions. It's really going to shift the entirety of how we do things.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's see how it shifts these things. This is interesting. It's a very interesting conversation, because you want to the ball to be in the court of fans all the time, or do you want to have some autonomy, if you want, as a studio, and you know, to trust your vision and keep on going. I don't know why every time we talk, I have an Arabic expression that I like to share.
It makes our show interesting and international, so it's totally fine.
Which is the
so a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Yeah, actually, there's an English version of that statement. It's too many cooks in the kitchen ruins the meal.
There you go. So you also don't want that, because when you have like feedback coming left and right, you also tend to lose vision.
For sure, for sure.
Listen to everyone. And nowadays, with the whole divisiveness of the internet, that could, you know, put things off guard. So it's like the people off guard.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting time, that's for sure. It's gonna be a very interesting time moving ahead. To see how the film industry is going to be reshaped, and how the landscape is going to change moving ahead. Moving on, although not necessarily moving on away from the DCEU, we've got more issues from the fan base. Now in relation to the Batman. We've got a lot of things happening in Gotham City. Let's make that clear. There's a lot of stuff happening in Gotham City. We'll start with the minor things. AT&T and Warner Media seem to want Ben Affleck to don the cowl again, which I find very interesting at this point. Those are rumors, by the way. Those are not 100% facts, but there are rumors that state that AT&T and Warner Media want Ben Affleck to don the cowl again. On the Arrowverse, Ruby Rose just exited the leading role of Batwoman. I'm unclear as to why this happened. The article stated that she made the decision and it wasn't lightly made, but there are rumors that state that there were issues behind the scenes. So I don't know what's going to happen there. The show's obviously not canceled. Someone else is going to don the Ruby Rose character now, which is kind of, I mean, I don't know what that's going to be like. You know, changing the lead character of a show is, I don't know. It's a little weird and it's a little risky.
Has that been done when a show is so much character centric?
No, not that I know of. I mean, I can't think.
You have examples like Roseanne, but Roseanne has a very strong supporting cast. And
right, but when Roseanne left the show and when that happened, it wasn't necessarily Roseanne anymore. Like they made a spinoff. Yeah, they made a spinoff. I mean, in Charmed, which is a really old show from the 90s, which is now rebooted, pointlessly rebooted, the first three seasons had Shannon Doherty, and then she was killed off because of issues behind the scenes, and they replaced her with another character, but then the show lived on for a while. But again, it wasn't like a one character-centric kind of show. I don't know how that's going to work. That's just weird.
Also, with Ruby Rose, there was a lot of, like, I think online, since we're like talking about the internet a lot these days, she was very attacked and bullied online before being cast as Batwoman and while being cast as Batwoman. And if you look, at most of the reactions online of people, they don't really care about the show and they don't really care about her. Which is sad, because you know they're making the effort to do that, but maybe the show will have a chance to recreate itself with a new season. You know,
that sure. I do remember seeing the chaos that was happening online when Batwoman was announced. I think the majority of the issues came from that first trailer that was released because, I mean, even speaking objectively, I don't even watch these shows anymore, but even speaking objectively, that was a terrible, terrible trailer. Yeah, I mean, like, the worst kind of cheesiness I've ever seen, ever. So that was where the main issue came from. So from the very beginning, Batwoman was playing a losing game because nobody necessarily liked the trailer. But now with Ruby Rose exiting, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen there. But the main reason we're bringing up Gotham City is because of Robert Pattinson and the fan base surrounding Robert Pattinson, whether it be those that love the idea of a Robert Pattinson Batman and those who hate the idea of a Robert Pattinson Batman. And mostly those of us kind of like me who know that Robert Pattinson is a very talented actor are extremely excited about him portraying Bruce Wayne. Versus the people now that are kind of like hating on the idea of Robert Pattinson, specifically after his interview, I believe it was The Hollywood Reporter or Variety, where he basically stated that he will not be working out for the role. He will not be buffing up for the role. And he's just going to be the fit version of himself as Bruce Wayne. And people have gone nuts because according to them, if you're not buff, you can't be Bruce Wayne.
Hello, Michael Keaton, everyone.
Right?
Michael Keaton was not buff, and he was an excellent Batman and Bruce Wayne. He was great at both.
Yeah, you're a big Keaton fan, aren't you?
I love Bale. Give me one of those Bales.
Give me one of Rashid.
Shit, Rashid. What's up, Speedy Comics? So I like Christian Bale a lot, but Keaton for me was my introduction to Batman, and he did a good job. The movie had a very different tone and so on, but it worked.
Yeah.
You don't need to be buffed or Rambo to be Batman. In the comics, in the earlier versions of the comic, the guy was not had a 17-pack or whatever.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
He was a fit person. It's not like he's going to, you know, have the Thor belly or anything. He's not going in that direction. He's just going to be a fit version of himself. People need to calm the fuck down.
Oh, you just love that you can say that word now on the air, don't you?
Yeah, but because they do. It's justified. It's a justifiable fuck.
Yeah, it is. It is. Look, I totally agree with you. I think it's gone a little overboard. I don't think that all superheroes need to look like, to have 17 packs or 6 packs. Look, if he was completely out of shape and playing a Batman, like you said, like a Thor belly, then I would be concerned. But he's just playing Bruce Wayne as a human being. And I think this is what makes me so excited for the Batman is that I feel like this is going to be a very grounded and even more grounded version of Batman than Christopher Nolan's Batman. This is going to be, again, this idea of characterization, this idea of very dark, very twisted, very raw. Even Andy Serkis said that it's going to be a much darker Batman than we're used to. So I'm all for that, because if you read the comic books, I mean, Batman faced some very sadistic villains. Like, look at the Joker. Look at, I don't remember. He wears a pig mask. I don't remember what his name was, but this guy's very sadistic. The Riddler, the Penguin, they're very creepy, creepy villains. And like the Scarecrow even. And I don't think we've seen the level of horror and fear that we could see in a Batman movie. And I'm excited that Matt Reeves might be tackling that arena.
Absolutely. You are totally right. People are just judging too quickly. People are just, you know, not looking at the bigger picture. These studios do know what they're doing the majority of the time. And bringing on someone like Matt Reeves, who has the experience he has on the Planet of the Apes.
Yes! Ah, what a beautiful trilogy.
I think it makes sense. And let's, I was talking about Keaton, but if you also look at Christian Bale, he's not super buff.
Yeah, he's not super buff either. The only one that's super buff was Ben Affleck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, and then people are like, no, Ben Affleck is like not really. People just need to wait and to see what's going to happen and to see the people trust and have a bit of faith in the process.
Not just that, but people need to just let go and kind of like enjoy this new edition of a Batman movie. This is exactly what people did when they used to read comics before the movies came out. You never knew what was going to happen in the comic book. You never knew who, you know, like what Bruce Wayne's next adventure was going to be like, or his next the next version of him was going to be like. But you went and you were excited and you went along for the ride. Why are we becoming so critical to the point of toxicity now that you can't even enjoy the thing that you love? And this is kind of what we spoke about last week, and we keep bringing that up because I feel like this is something that's going to be constantly be brought up in this day and age where people are just constantly complaining and whining, and they're not allowing themselves to enjoy the things that they love to enjoy.
That's true. That's true. People are being a bit too negative, and people are being a bit too harsh, and people are being premature with their judgment of things. Watch the movie, then have your opinion, and then when you have that opinion, opinionate it in a very calm and nice or negative way, but politely.
Exactly, exactly.
Converse with people, have a conversation. Don't like, yeah, you're an idiot, you don't like this movie. No, just like, Tom, why do you like this movie? Why not? I am not a fan of Superman Returns. You are. We've talked about this. Not Superman Returns.
Man of Steel.
Yeah. You like it. We talk about it. We discuss it. I respect your point of view. I'm not like you're stupid for liking it. No, I don't like it for my reasons. You like it for yours, and that's okay. So, conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anything else that you wanted to talk about, Robert Pattinson-wise, with the Batman?
Look, I am okay with Robert Pattinson. Unfortunately, the man suffered the Twilight curse.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the entire globe suffered the Twilight curse.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people were categorized as something specific and were able to get out of it. Look at Matthew McConaughey. Not, he wasn't a superhero or anything, but he was the rom-com guy. He was the rah-rah-rah-rah-rah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little by little, he started doing these small movies, Lincoln Lawyer, and so on. And then he got to
Dallas Buyers Club.
What? Dallas Buyers Club. So Pattinson has recently done a string of very interesting and very powerful movies, which were not, if you want, commercial hits, but were critical successes.
Yeah.
The majority of people did not see. So the guy does have range.
And if you saw him in the Tenant trailer, you will know how much range he has. Like, dude, the dude looks so cool in this movie.
Absolutely. Good luck, Robert. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Don't bulk up. Just you know, be true to the character. Do a good Bruce Wayne. Do a good Batman. I think he's surrounded by the right people. The only thing that worries me about the movie, if I have one concern, and I've shared this before, is that there are a lot of characters.
Yeah, I have the same concerns.
Underutilized, whereas someone else is overutilized. But let's be patient. Let's wait and see how this is going to evolve and what the final product is going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's just all wait and see. And remember, everybody, that, you know, back in the day when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, nobody was on board. And look at how everybody literally like lives by Heath Ledger's Joker now. So let's all take a chill pill. Let's see how it all evolves. And I'm sure it will not disappoint.
And I'm going to follow up with that with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker.
Yes, yes.
Like, no, it's Heath Ledger. No one else can top that. Two different Jokers. Love them both. But look at what Joaquin did. So let's wait and see.
All right, so finally for this week's recommendations, we're back to recommending films and series for you guys to watch. I'm going to be recommending an old, but like an oldish family drama that premiered on ABC. I'm just checking the date here. I'm trying to remember to see when it premiered here. Give me one quick second. 2006. So it premiered in 2006, for almost 14 years ago. It's called Brothers and Sisters. It's an absolute gem. I absolutely love this show. It's so beautifully written and so beautifully representative of a proper family unit and the ins and outs and struggles and love and laughter that a family goes through. Especially when there's differing points of view, differing ways of life. It's a beautiful, heartwarming show, and it's all available now because it's done. It's 5 seasons. I'm binging it currently. I'm on season 1, so I highly recommend the show. And it has a great, great score by Blake Neely as well.
I want to see the Lebanese version of that. That could be amazing.
Man, if I had the opportunity to adapt this show to Lebanon, I would be the first one to start writing it, like for real.
Like, we have a lot of rich characters over here, so.
Yeah, we do.
I'm going to go for something very different. I don't know if I've recommended it on the show, honestly, before. But I do want to recommend it today. It's very different from the topic we're talking about. It's like not a series. It's not even an English movie. It's a French movie called La Famille Bélier, the Bélier family. And it tells the story of a small family on a farm consisting of 4 people, a mom, a dad, a boy, and a girl. And the 3 of the people in the family, the mom, the dad, and the brother, are actually deaf. They can't hear. And the daughter can, and is the only one who can actually speak and has to communicate with them and the outside world. And she falls in love with singing.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for this film a while back, and I kind of wanted to watch it.
Yeah, it's very, very sweet. It's very heartwarming. It's funny. It has to be funny. It's emotional when it has to be emotional. And, you know, it deals with family responsibility. You sometimes in your life, when you have to take the next step, which is good for you, but not necessarily for your family. There's something very beautiful and poetic about it. And the actress, she's a French singer called Louane, who portrays the mind-blowing, very sweet, a lot of emotions, beautiful. And get tissues, people. Get tissues. Because I promise you will be moved. So La Famille Bélier is what I am recommending today.
Fantastic. To check out our recommendations, make sure you check out the brand new @ScriptToScreenPod handle on Instagram. That is where you can follow the show. I no longer have a personal handle on Instagram. I've dedicated the Instagram account to mostly Script to Screen stuff. You will still see me on the account with the reviews and maybe some of, the dorky adventures that I go on or the geeky adventures that I go on. But it's mostly dedicated for the show, and that's what will be posted on that account as well. You can also follow Script to Screen Pod it's _ Script to Screen on Twitter. I'll be sharing film news and podcast news on there as well. And you can also follow my co-host. The solo to my Chewbacca.
I almost fucked that one up. on had.solo.
Yep, you can follow had.solo. Make sure you DM us or send us voice messages on Anchor if you want to be a part of the show, if you want to comment. If you have any thoughts about Robert Pattinson or the Snyder Cut, please let us know. You can DM us on Instagram, you can DM us on Twitter, or send us a voice message, and we might play that voice message in next week's episode. Had, it was always, like always, it's a pleasure.
It was fun, it was cool, and Can't wait to do this again. And I like, again, I shout out to everyone who listens to the show. Thank you so much for everything. We'd love to hear your feedback. We want to hear, as Alan said, your input on the topics we discussed today. Please reach out and have a great week ahead of you. And stay safe.
For sure, for sure.
Distance, use alcohol, wash your hands, drink alcohol too. I'm sorry for the like things following each other, but also to all our Muslim listeners.
Yes, happy Eid to every screener out there who celebrates.
Yeah, we hope that, you know, everything will be bright and wonderful with you guys. So Eid Mubarak to all of you.
All right. As always, you can check out our episodes on a weekly basis on all podcast platforms. Thank you so much, screeners, for joining us. Have a wonderful week ahead. See you later, Solo.
Bye-bye, Chewbacca.
All right. Take care, guys.